Thanks for listening to Last Call Confessions. This podcast is intended for adult audiences, and there may be language or references that some listeners may find disturbing. Guest views are their own and not necessarily reflective of the Last Call Confessions team. Discretion is advised. So today on Last Call Confessions, we have a well-known Canadian DJ joining us on the show. Some of you know him through the nightclub scene or as a member of Drum & DJ. He also hosts the number one radio mix show on 90.3 in Calgary for all of our Calgary listeners. He's been on the scene for over 10 years now, and we're excited for him to share some of his history and party stories with us today. DJ Cobb, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate this.
So normally we play around a rapid fire, where Lauren will ask a bunch of deep and dark questions, but we changed it up a little bit today because we wanted to find out a little bit more about you real quick. So let's kick it off with, what is your favorite drink at the bar?
Easy. Goose and water.
A goose and water. Okay. Oh, favorite comfort food?
Comfort food. Burger? Count?
Perfect.
Yeah, cheeseburger?
Cheeseburger. Yes. Yes,
okay. Absolutely. Like, I'm like, not just a burger. You need a cheese on that.
What kind of loser just wants a burger?
Right.
What? Some people.
Favorite genre of music?
That's tough.
I figured that would be a tough one. I had to go with genre.
Yeah, that kind of goes. Oh, I know it's rapid fire. I'm going to say, it's going to be a one sentence thing. I'm going to say hip hop, R&B, and dance.
Okay. Favorite movie?
Shawshank Redemption.
Ooh, good one.
That's a good one.
Childhood hero.
This is going to sound really cheesy, but probably my brother.
Okay. I've heard a lot about your brother, and I'm sure we're going to ask a few questions about him in a bit.
Yeah, because I've heard nothing.
I'm excited to hear more. I'm excited to hear more.
I'm sorry. You don't know anything about me, and I'm sorry.
What did you originally want to be when you grew up?
That's a really good question. I wanted to be an NHL goalie.
NHL goalie. Okay.
Yes.
And if you could do anything other than being a DJ right now, what would it be?
An NHL goalie.
So the childhood dream hasn't changed.
Has not changed.
There's still probably time. Something,
as strange as it sounds, I had a really fascination and a love for child psychology. So I took that in my post-secondary education.
Okay.
With a lot of like childhood development, childhood psychology. So that'd be my second passion.
Ooh, after an NHL goalie?
After an NHL goalie.
If the goalie doesn't work out, then you have this. And
probably not flexible enough anymore. But yeah, so I was like, okay, sure.
Third, you can combine both split and stretches. Be a goalie coach.
Yeah, there you go. Goalie coach.
You could be like a goalie coach psychologist.
Oh, this is good.
There's right? There's none of those these days, and I bet you there's a market for it.
I'm out of here.
Coach psychologist. That's the new thing. Look at what the pandemic did for you. Yeah. With a new career. Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm excited to learn a bit more about you. Obviously, I've known you through the nightclub scene, through Drum & DJ, through Dave, and just kind of partying and being in that lifestyle. But already I've learned a few things about you that I didn't know. I'm excited to hear a bit more. So let's kick off. I want to know about, like, you've DJed all over the world in different places, and you've traveled and done all this different stuff. What are some of the coolest places that you've gone to, and what did you like about them?
I've played in some very cool places like the Cayman Islands, and we've toured Jamaica during spring break. That was probably the highlight, just being able to go out there and, you know, spring break, Jamaica, you know, we did, I think it was 8 shows in 10 days from like city to city to city. And then I think one of the coolest experiences was seeing like these massive billboards of us around these like resorts and the city as you're driving by. And then people, cause they're very small communities and cities. And then the residents and the locals pointing at us being like, oh, that's them, that's them. And then after we give out our shirts during the shows, you know, next day you're out for lunch and you see people wearing your shirts. Like you just went from DJing an event to instant, I don't know, like rock star status immediately. And I think the coolest thing about Jamaica was the passion they have for music and the understanding they have for music was like nowhere else that I've played before. Like if you're not tight, you don't know what you're doing, they'll boo you right off the stage.
And you got to do it through spring break.
And spring break. So
like spring break's wild. Were there wet t-shirt contests?
There was everything you can imagine. There was twerking, there was wet t-shirt contests, and the crazy
twerking. I've been so locked up. I'm like, what is this? What's spring break like again?
And then we walk out the plane to get into Jamaica, like through the airport. We waited, I think it was 6 or 7 hours for customs. That's how long the lineup is, because everyone's flying there. It's a small airport. And for 2 weeks, their population, well, it's similar to Calgary and the Stampede. The population just doubles immediately for 10 days. Right?
And just everyone's going there for spring break.
Yeah. And it was just crazy, crazy, crazy experience. And we did that a couple of years in a row.
You've got Lauren thinking about spring break now.
Oh, I feel bad for the little kids. Like, are they going to ever get to experience spring break?
Oh, yeah, they will.
They have to.
So how did you get started in DJing? Well, I can't talk today.
I actually started because my older brother was a DJ, and then he moved to Toronto because he pursued his education, and he left all his equipment behind, and he was like, don't touch my records, don't touch my turntables. And I was like, okay, no problem. And then probably 2-3 weeks later, I was like, okay, I'm gonna start messing around with this. And I think I was 13 at the time, and I just started figuring it out. And you know, there was no instructions to it. There was no like YouTube at that moment to learn it or anything else. And I just kind of picked up here and there and listening to other DJs and just went from there. And then when he got back, I was like, oh yeah, sorry about that. I kind of used all your stuff, but he was fine with it when he got back.
So you didn't listen to him. You're the younger brother, obviously.
Yeah.
So he's your big influence, as you mentioned before. So
yeah.
Why is he your biggest influence and everything? I want to know.
Well, I mean, I guess one, he just seeing what he did, and we're both kind of introverts on the outside. But then when he was DJing, he would say like how he had this, you know, outgoing personality that came through on the mic kind of thing. So I was kind of the same way, where I was pretty shy. I was picked on in school. Strange enough, English was my second language at the time. So, you know, that just gave me almost like a cover to be able to be somebody that I wasn't at the time, and give you a persona, like a split, I don't want to say split personality, but I mean like a secondary outlet to let yourself go kind of thing.
It kind of like gave you a voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially. So you're not from Canada then?
I was born here, but I lived overseas like when I was young. So when we moved back, I couldn't speak English, and there's lots of stories about that.
So like out of all the places where you've DJed, and everything, like which one sticks out the most to you, like of all the clubs or festivals or anything where you have, was it Jamaica or was there any others?
Out of locations, probably Jamaica, just because it was such a, you know, again, like spring break, Jamaica, that many shows and that many nights and just like go, go, go. And just learning how to pace yourself, because it's a lot to handle in one little go there. That's probably one of the big ones. And also I would definitely say the Cowboys like festival, Stampede Tent, Cowboys Music Festival Tent, is just a whole different experience. And the one opportunity we had where one artist can make it across the border, and then they're all of a sudden like, you're now the headliner, you have this night. That was pretty cool, because you got all the special effects, you got all the stuff that went along with the show, which was really, really cool.
And I remember that night well, because you guys absolutely murdered it up there. That was the highest energy, like most insane show that I've seen probably in that tent in a long time. And I remember talking to people in the crowd. They were like, this is worth every dollar that I would have spent to go and see the artist that didn't show up. They're like, this is unreal.
That's, I think, awesome. The crowd was like still very happy, which like at first it was like, everyone was like praying. They're like, cross your fingers. But it turned out to be such an amazing night.
I can't imagine a more difficult scenario for you guys to be thrown into, Kav, than, hey, like, not only did the headliner not show up, and now there's a large group of 5,000 pissed off fans, you guys get to be the ones that are on stage to turn their night around. And by the end of it, like, people describe that as one of the drunkest, most fun nights that they'd had. So not only did you do that, you guys did it with style. So that was pretty cool to see.
Thank you. That was definitely the most stressed show we've ever had, because like you said, got the call, I think 5:30 at night. We're supposed to be at Soundtrack 6:30, and you know, opening set in and out quickly, and it turned into it's your night. And I mean, you guys know when something doesn't happen the way that the audience wants it, you'll get booed, you'll get stuff thrown at you, you'll get heckled and everything else. We're like, okay, we got to go in here. And it's not like, let's build them up. It's like 110% for that 3 hour period and just give it all you got and then just out cold. And that's kind of what we did. And it worked out really well. So yeah, that was probably the hardest show to go into without, you know, going, they're expecting somebody else. And here we are.
Yeah. And like the way the tent is, like people who don't, I've never been to the Cowboys tent. It's massive too. And like, it's like a crowd just before the stage and everything. So it's just, yeah, the, you did a good atmosphere and like didn't get anything thrown at you. So that's good. It was so just good.
Phone numbers. No, I'm just kidding.
Just phone numbers. The girls did throw some phone numbers.
Phone numbers and bras. That's it.
Phone numbers and bras.
So aside from obviously a last minute no show and you guys taking over the headlining spot, what are some of the craziest things that have happened to you while at a show?
Attending or performing?
Both.
Both.
Actually, one of the craziest experience that I've ever had happened only a little while ago, the year before COVID. We were going to Vegas for my best friend's stag party. And I had arranged a couple shows to go to with a couple DJs that I knew and one of the record labels. And one of my all-time favorites is Calvin Harris. I've never seen him live. So I was like, okay, you know, can you get me to Calvin Harris? They're like, yeah, no problem. We'll get you in. So hopefully, you know, many people have been to Vegas. They know how it works. You know, you're sitting there trying to get in, or if there's a VIP line, you get in, and then it's just like mayhem in there, you know, wall to wall, shoulder to shoulder. So we go in there, get our wristbands, and like, you know, come this way. And I go, where are we going? Why do we have these wristbands? And he goes, oh, we have a table for you. And I was like, I've seen this before. Where it's also like, now we need a credit card. It's $10,000, right? Or $5,000. I was like, wait a second, we're supposed to get in. He goes, no, you're on Calvin's guest list. And I was like, I'm on Calvin's guest list. So sure enough, we go in there and we're sitting. It's me, three of the people we're with, and maybe 8 or 10 girls right behind Calvin Harris with like free bottle service, like full blown. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is Calvin Harris. And he's one of my top two EDM DJs. And I was just blown away. I was just watching, be like, how did this happen? Well, how am I right beside Calvin Harris, like an arm's length of Calvin Harris? I'm looking at him being like, this is him. This is actually him. This is crazy. So it was a very wow moment. And usually, you know, being in the industry, you don't get a lot of those moments because you see a lot of artists and everything else. But that moment, because it came so unexpected, was definitely one of the highlights.
So yeah, so not only are you on his guest list, but you're literally like arm's length sitting right behind, drinking bottles off of one of your idols.
Yeah, like his manager and his servers are like, would you like some more drinks? I'm like, they're free, right? They're free, right?
Like, this is an illusion. Like,
and it's just a free-for-all.
You were like treated like a hot girl in Vegas.
Totally. I totally got
you
it.
You were a hot girl in Vegas.
Yeah, that's the hot girl experience.
That's a hot girl experience. You got the hot girl experience.
Something that all men strive for is one day to experience the hot girl Vegas.
It's free. Yeah. Vegas. Yeah, every time I go to Vegas, it's all free.
Yeah, amazing how that works for you, Lauren.
Yeah. It must be nice.
Well, you got it. I'm going to go with you next time.
Once.
I haven't gotten Calvin's guest list, so I'm going to come with you. Oh, man.
If you like what you're hearing, please don't forget to give us a like or favorite and a 5-star review on your favorite streaming platform. It helps us out a ton and gives us better access to producing more great podcasts for our listeners. While you're at it, make sure to check out our Instagram at Last Call Confessions and give us a follow for all the up-to-date info on the podcasts. What about from a show that you were playing? Any crazy stories or experiences from one of those?
It's hard to pick one particular one out. I guess the biggest ones for me is the ones that, you know, we've shared the stage with some of who I consider legends or idols. You know, I think Jazzy Jeff would definitely be a huge one for me. You know, Jazzy Jeff, as far as a DJ technically goes, one of my favorite DJs of all time. He's definitely inspired me. Every time he comes to the town or we're playing together, or I'm still in awe of watching him, being like, it sets you straight. Cause you know, you've been doing it for so long. You're like, you know, I feel like I'm pretty good in the industry and I got my head wrapped around it. And then I watched Jazzy Jeff. I'm like, I know nothing. I'm a loser. I don't have any skills after all these years. And he's just such a nice guy. We got a chance to tour with him a few times. I've opened up for him a couple of times. And he's just one of the kindest people ever. And just being on there with him and getting his feedback and, you know, going on a trip to Whistler and spending all those hours and just connecting with him. That was definitely one. And another one just popped in my mind was, and this is a throwback, but we were touring with Boyz II Men and we drove to Edmonton and I was in a car or in a van or whatever it was for 3 hours with Boyz II Men. And I'm like, how am I just sitting in here with, shouldn't we be in a different car? Like, why am I with Boyz II Men? It's just at the moment you're kind of like, oh, this is cool. And afterwards you're like, was I really just hanging out with the guys that sold, you know, tens of millions of records? It's crazy. So
I love that your two biggest moments are like that you can think of right now off the top of your head, Boyz II Men and Jazzy Jeff. And I'm immediately transported back to watching that Fresh Prince episode with both of them. Yeah. But, oh man, I know with Jazzy Jeff in particular, I've had the opportunity to see him quite a few times now, thankfully through Cowboys, but I remember watching the show with a couple buddies of mine who, like you, DJs, and I'm not a DJ. I don't know anything about DJing. And I remember vividly one of them stopping me and being like, just like, watch when they zoom in on his hands. They're like, this is incredible. Like, this is like watching Picasso paint. Like, this is one of the craziest things you'll ever see and you don't understand it unless you're a DJ. But when you watch him, it is art. And I'm like, cool. So hearing you say that is pretty cool.
I think even on top of your point, it's not even that just as DJing, but the fact that there's only a handful of like us DJs left that actually play on vinyl still or use the vinyl ability. And the fact that he still does that, it's just, it's a total mind screw up, I guess you could say. It's just, it's mind blowing. You're right though. It is a work of art. Cause you watch him and you're like, wow. I'll admit, I go home and I'm like, how do you do that? I'm just thinking through it and going through the process. And you think, and it goes on for days and you're like, got it. And then, you know, if I see him again or whatever, I'm like, remember that thing that you did? I figured it out. Or can you do that again? Or whatever else. Like he does this random thing, but he does this Billie Jean. I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan, my musical idol. He does this mix of Billie Jean. And I remember the first time I saw it, I just stopped and I was just like frozen. Everyone's like, are you okay? My friends were like, are you okay? I'm like, shh, shut up. Shut up. Do you see what he's doing? Like, what's he doing? Like, I hear Billie Jean. I'm like, oh my God. I need new friends. All right. So
get away from me. Oh my God. That's amazing.
So Kav, I think one of the things that I like about you the most, and I think that is one of the reasons why you're so good at what you do, is that you don't just do it because it's a job or anything like that. You can tell you just love the art. You love the music. You love everything behind it. So with that in mind, I know it's probably tough to pick your favorite performer that you've gotten a chance to watch, but what about your top five performances, like as a fan that you've gotten to see? What would be fall into some of those?
First of all, virtual hug, because thank you for the kind words. I think the superstars, there's something about the raw talent of somebody, of watching like a Jazzy Jeff, where it's just, you know, no flash, no lights and cameras and, you know, dancers and everything else, just an MC and a DJ. So there's that part of it, which is pure. And I would say for that art of it, it would be him and Ice Cube, I thought, was like that too. It's just him, a hype guy, and a DJ. And that's it. And there's something about the simplicity of that and the throwback feel of that, that's something different. And as far as other artists, I mean, there's, once you go to the big superstars, I think if you have an opportunity in your lifetime to see your favorite artist as a superstar, it's something to be said. I mean, you know, I love Justin Bieber. I've seen him so many times, right? And you see him and you're going, you're like, what is this? You know, like, what's going on here? Rihanna, I've seen her, you know, Coachella, and seeing like Snoop Dogg or Dr. Dre, like just those big iconic artists, I think is a wow factor. JT, Jay-Z.
Snoop Dogg was so good. Like I was amazed with him at the tent last year. I was like, holy hell, like he was so good. And Nelly, I really enjoyed Nelly.
And how good Snoop Dogg is after all these years, or Nelly, like they're just constant pros.
Yeah, and like they're so old, like a lot of,
yeah,
like not like so, I shouldn't say they're so old, but they're like from like when I was really young, like
yeah,
10 and 12. And like seeing them perform like the songs like I grew up to, and I'm like, oh my God, like they just killed it. And I was like, oh, like it just takes you back to such a time and you're like, this is just everything and more.
Yeah, very polished. I agree.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, it's cool, like, seeing, like, performers. I've never seen Justin Bieber. I've been dying to see him.
Yeah, but I've met him a couple times, and I've seen him a couple times, and I just think his performance and his voice, like, to this day, every time he comes up with a song, I'm like, he's got it. He's still got it. He's still got it. He's so talented.
Well, he's, what, 24?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Like, he's going to have it for a really long time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I've been watching his documentary probably when it came out.
Yeah.
It's just like him struggling with all his like mental health too. It's just incredible. And like,
and the fact that he shares it now, right, with his audience, and is like, yeah, mental health is a real thing. And mm-hmm. you know, this is what I struggled with. I think that's really important, because it's become such a talked about issue nowadays compared to before when we were growing up. It's like, you know, we use words like, oh, he's just crazy, or he's nuts, or, you know, yeah. they don't know what they're talking about. Or, and now it's like, no, these are like serious things, just as, you know, a sickness would be. So
yeah, like as an actual illness. So I think it's like really inspiring when people come out and they're like, oh, like I do suffer from a mental health condition and everything, and what they do, because then it helps others come out. Because yeah, it was like a very taboo thing, like people go like, don't talk about that, like they just look at you and they're like, you're just crazy, like you're not well in the head,
right?
It's like you can't help it, the way you're born, like it's just illness.
Totally.
Yeah,
100%.
Dear Last Call Confessions, this one night when I was out partying, well, you get the idea. If you're listening and thinking to yourself that you have some crazy stories you would love to share, make sure to send us a DM at Last Call Confessions on Instagram. And your story could be featured on our new Dear Last Call Confessions segment in an upcoming episode. If you know your story needs to be heard but would rather not take the credit, don't worry. We're fine with keeping it anonymous too.
Besides like all the performers you've got to see, you've also got to like interview a ton of celebrities and everything too. Like, who has been your most favorite to like interview, or like the most wow?
Wow moment was Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
You interviewed Ed Sheeran?
Yeah. It was only a handful of people that got to do it across Canada. And when he was in Edmonton, I got picked to do it, and I almost missed it. I mean, I was 3 minutes away. I was running with this box, like, because the bus driver was so slow. And it was like this, I got to take some listeners from the radio station there, but I got to interview them. And I'm like running, sweating, and like, where are you? You have 3 minutes unless you're not here. Or if you're not here, you missed the interview. I was like, oh my God, I cannot miss interviewing Ed Sheeran. Like, you know, one of the biggest artists, period. And then I interviewed him, and he was super, super nice. Definitely the highlight for interview.
That'd be so cool. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Love his music. It's so wholesome, I find. That's a word.
So wholesome.
Well, it's just like so like, I don't know. Like I always listen to his like love songs. So, and I'm always like, oh, it's just so, it just fills your heart up with like hope.
All the feels.
All the feels. He seems like he'd be a good guy too.
Yeah, totally. And that's exactly what he is in person too. Just very laid back, and you know, there's no like ego. He's just like, it's almost like having a beer with a buddy. Like he's just sitting there being like, oh yeah, you know, so, you know, and then the person's like, you have 2 minutes. Like he goes, it's fine. You know, just.
And he's just like very relaxed about
it. Have you noticed that the guys who are like the most, or guys and girls who are the most like laid back, just kindest people ever, that they have the hardest ass managers out of anyone?
It's like, cause they don't want to be the bad person, right? It's like, yeah. I don't want to be the bad guy or girl that says it's time's up. So they have a hard ass that's like, time's up, get out. And you're like, that guy's a loser, but he was nicer.
Your manager sucks, but you're great.
Yeah.
And it's like the guys that are the most like that are the ones that have just this manager. It's like they're to smooth everything over because the artist is the one who has the personality.
Yeah, totally. Nailed it.
Surround yourselves with people who do things you're not good at, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you obviously have opened up and been on stage, headlined the Cowboys Music Festival quite a few times. What would be your craziest Stampede story that you have, whether it be from when you're headlining or playing or just partying, but everyone has a crazy Stampede story. I want
to
hear it.
The DJ one goes back to the headlining it on that night was probably the craziest one for me. The highlight would probably be, you know, Calvin Harris, I mentioned, was one of my idols as far as the EDM DJs go. My other one is Zedd. So being able to open up for Zedd and then seeing him live afterwards, I sat to the side and I was like, I'm watching the show. I'm not going out there. I'm not dealing with, you know, the crowd. I just want to see the show. And again, it was just one of those things just to take in and enjoy and just be like, I was there. played the show, got to see him. Wow. And it was just that wow moment.
What stands out to you the most when you're performing a show? When you're up there, you get into the zone. I know I've seen you and Brett both. You guys just are all about it. But what do you pick up on and what do you feed off of that really makes things huge for you?
You know, I would say earlier on in my career, it was so cliche when artists or DJs or shows were like, I totally feed off the crowd and the energy. And you hear everyone say that all the time. I'm like, go get lost. No, you don't. What energy? What are you talking about, loser, right? It was always on your head, right? But you actually, without question, feed off the energy of the people. And I've realized that, like me and Brett, this is gonna come as a surprise. I don't know if you guys know it. We don't rehearse at all. Like there's no rehearsal. We rehearsed, I think, three times when we first met to see if we had the chemistry. After that, we go into every show and we just let go. So we have some kind of an agenda, you know, if it's a hip hop show or if it's an EDM show, of what kind of music we're going to play. But, yeah. You know, if I look at the crowd and they're not bouncing up and down to certain songs, they're not singing the songs, you know, I always try to cut out the music and see if they're feeling it and all that kind of stuff. If they're not, I'll flip it around. I'll just look at Brett and he knows my eye. I'm like, we're switching it, like the format or where we're going. So as cliche and cheesy as it sounds, it's definitely feeding off the energy of how people are reacting. Are they dancing? Do they have their hands in the air? When we say somebody scream, when we say put your hands in the air, are they doing it? Because you guys have both seen shows where an artist says do that and everyone's like looking the other way or not engaged, right?
Yeah, you're like, yeah. Oh, they're not doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Like how you guys like feed off each other too. Like you can like look at him and be like, we're switching it and he'll know.
Yeah. And there's been, you know, I would say it's worked out pretty good because I think there's something to be said for that chemistry and to be able just to fly off the seat of your pants. You know, if we had a show that was really, really produced and the production was there, could it be visually better? Sure. But it's one of the lessons my brother taught me is that never plan out your sets. You'll lose the interest and the passion in it. So, you know, I would always say I've never personally had, and I always say this and everyone's like, don't ever say that. But I truly believe I've never had the perfect night. Now the perfect night means that I say everything that I was supposed to perfectly, that I hit the songs at the right spot, that I mix them properly exactly, was everything 100%. And I would say, no, I don't think there's such a thing as a perfect perfection night. If you're just, you know, going by the feet of the crowd or the, you know, the energy of the crowd and stuff, that's part of the fun of it.
I know that also, like, you are a huge dog lover as well. Yes. Yes. And you lost your dog named Cola a while ago. But you started raising money in his honor to help out its ARF, right?
The ARF one, there's an actual Cola Strong link.
Okay.
So it goes directly to his. Because he's got a, when they had the new facility and that money went towards that, there's actually a kennel there that's under his name. Dogs get rescued. You know, there'll be certain dogs that go into there. And my thought was, you know, hopefully they'll have his energy and his strength to get through the terrible upbringing or whatever they've gone through to heal.
Kav, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on today. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on here and getting to know a little bit more about you. So thank you so much. And we wish you obviously the best of luck with everything that you're doing. And hopefully we'll get back to doing some live shows here soon.
Do you want to share awesome. Right now, like where they can find you on socials?
Yeah, it's the DJ Kav on Perfect. Twitter, Instagram. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you guys. Thank you. Thank you both. Yeah,
thank you so much.
Anytime.
See you later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Last Call Confessions. It would mean the world to us if you could make sure to give us a 5-star rating and a review on your favorite podcast streaming platform, as well as give our Instagram page at Last Call Confessions a follow. Don't forget, if you have a great party story you know we need to hear, make sure to DM us for the chance to have your story featured on an upcoming episode.